welcome all to Hollywood, California, Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater. Thank you so much for coming. Give yourselves a warm embrace. We've been off for a week, and we have a very large crowd here tonight. It's very exciting. Will you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Probably a special night for some of you. I think some people are probably here out of town for Communicon.
Oh, that's what this is all about.
Yeah. makes you wonder, would there just be 12 people here if it weren't for that? We usually have a healthy sized crowd, but certainly, yeah, a lot of people are here. Communicon was our second year of having a community convention over at the Embassy Suites in Glendale. Not our second year there.
I'm already 6 days and then I'm over.
Six. Yeah.
Do you think that you guys are on pace for 6 seasons?
Well, I mean, well, as much as we were first season, I mean, everybody always asks that, like, do you think you guys are, don't you think this and don't you think that? It's like, wait, this show has been on the chopping block since its first episode. Like, at what point do you just throw up your hands and go, obviously, it's going to be on the air for 20 years or can die at any time? Like, you just, like, kind of embrace it. It's the show represents the human condition. It's kind of a weird, like, mud skipper of a show, because it's, you know, you wonder like just put yourself in the mind of, like, Donald Glover, who's incredibly talented and who rang his soul dry into that show. Like, I definitely know that he did not leave because he thought, oh, I'm gonna go make a bunch of money. But a kid like Donald, like, as talented as Donald was, and for the amount of work that he did on that show, 15 years earlier, like, can you imagine? Like, he would have left the set of Community at the end of an episode taping in season 2, and he would have gone out to the parking lot, and a Sony exec would have been like, Donald, hey. And there would have been a Porsche. Just want to let you know, your contract's up for renewal. Like, another way. Here you go. The shit changed. The climate changed. And what was my point? I don't know. Well, I mean, Community, like, to make it into your fifth season is fucking hard. And to make it into your fifth season, now you just do it crawling on your belly over glass. Now you just do it, like, you make it to the end of the fifth season, and at the end of it, people are just going, like, yeah, you're welcome. Nobody. There's no ticker tape. There's no.
Do you think,
except for these kids, there's ticker tape from them.
But like you say, like, back in the old days, like, you know, like, and I don't mean to sound corny, but really before 9/11, like, when your show made. It's true.
That's the first time the use of 9/11 has been characterized as corny.
I don't mean to sound old-fashioned and quaint.
Corny. Wah, wah. Oh, that old chestnut.
But there was a time when, like, there was a thing called holding deals. Like you say, like, actors got, like, $500,000 to not work.
Yeah.
Just so they were stuck to a network or a studio. And also, like when... like, ER got picked up for the second season, all the cast walked out, and they all had brand new Porsches, like you say. Do any shows get that? Does, like, Big Bang Theory get the cars?
I'm sure Big Bang Theory gets all... yeah, I mean, that's an actual profitable, like, actual thing. Like, I don't know. You'd have to... I mean, you know, yeah. we should have Bill Prady on. He's the showrunner for Big Bang Theory and ostensibly my nemesis, but we like each other, and I should have him come up here and to talk about what it's like to run Big Bang Theory, because I'm constantly cursing it like the Red Baron. But it would be interesting to know what it's like to work over there. I have no idea. I'd be speaking way outside my jurisdiction. I just know that in general, you know, God, there was, you know, when I was a kid watching TV, there was 3 networks, just 3. And then there was your local UHF station with some Yahoo like Jim Henson doing some weird shit on it. because he hit the bricks with a suitcase full of tapes of Kermit the Frog and said, can we do this syndicated? But there was three networks. And those three networks basically cooperated. So there was like Battle of the Network Stars with Scott Baio fighting the Hulk on a high wire. Everything was just a big fuck you to the consumer. It was like, what are you going to take your business elsewhere? It's a talking car, plus the chick's hot. Fuck off. Which also created the classic television.
I miss Sherwood Schwartz and Gilligan's Island because that motherfucker didn't care what he needed to do. He wanted you to watch that show.
Right.
The Harlem Globetrotters are on the island tonight.
Well, that's the interesting thing.
That's good.
In the age of the three networks, you had Mary Tyler Moore, who created this like this collective of creatives. That, you know, the little kitty cat meow that's like that said MTM. That's Mary Tyler Moore, who like Charlie Chaplin before her, like created a collective of artists. So her whole goal was to say, we're the creatives, we need to be able to swing a heavier dick than these rich people who just pay to do nothing. And at the same time as her, Norman Lear, who like the time of total monopolization, there was more conscientiousness, more creative passion on the part of some of these people. That's the odd thing. But the fragmentation of all this media, you would not be able to have a Breaking Bad on network TV in 1980, obviously, for obvious reasons, because there's 25 million people watching, and possibly if you're the lowest rating show, rated show. So like, there's no way anyone's going to green light Breaking Bad in 1980. So you get who cares? Well, let's move on to something else. I took a poop the other day.
Go on.
You want to know about TV? Google TV. Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff on the internet about TV. What am I talking about? I'm a big jackass talking about TV. I took the biggest poop. You cannot find that on Google. I don't care. You can Google it all you want. Big poop. I didn't really take a big poop. I'm just kidding.
don't tease us like that, man.
You know, I was kind of interested in doing because it was the first time that, you know, the community fans are here. I don't doubt that a lot of Harmontown attendees are probably, I don't kid myself, I'm sure the only reason they're here is because they watch Community. But at the same time, there is a division. There's like a, you know, there's Harmontown fans and there's Community fans and there's a big old Venn diagram cleavage in the middle. But there's also separation, like a huge Community fan, arguably the biggest Community fan in the world, would have a huge reason to be like, fuck Dan Harmon. Fuck that guy. And I would see, you know, every once in a while I open my mouth and I say something in a subcomment of a comment section on Reddit. Like, for instance, I care about my show and I think it's stupid when people tell me it sucks and they can eat poop and fuck off and die. Like, and here's how that makes me feel, because I'm a human being that has a heartbeat and is going to die one day and doesn't want to go to my God liar. And then everything's fine in that subreddit, and it seems perfectly fine. And then someone goes like, if I reprinted this in my dumbass blog, I could get like a million pennies. and then it all gets out of control. So the end result is always that there's a lot of Community fans, I think, and I know because I see on Twitter, they literally will go, he needs to stop talking.
But what percentage of the feedback is that?
I don't know. What does Twitter represent? What do the Community fans represent?
1 millionth of pennies.
Is our top Community fan is the like I'm that was a quote from I can't pronounce her Twitter name. Meg. Is she here?
I'm here, yeah.
Wait, the stop talking lady is here?
The stop talking lady is here. He needs to stop talking.
Why would you come to this show? That's all it is.
I wanted to do. Would you be willing to come up and talk about how I shouldn't...
Well, if we're going to have this conversation, you have to come up on stage. Stop talking, lady.
Yeah, you can grab one of those.
She just walked up and said, what should we talk about? That's so interesting. Right, so, what's your name, by the way?
Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. You look very, very contentious right now. She's got arms akimbo, like a fight's about to break out.
Can I just say something really quick?
Okay, yes.
Responsible for getting season 5.
No.
She's on Twitter.
Can you come up and explain that?
Get up here. What is going on? And by the way, can we start doing the show on the round? Because it'd be so much easier just to have it surrounded by people. The access to the stage would be so much simpler. Because now the whole show is people just storming the stage like the Bastille.
I invited up. So
hey, lady. I did not create a show, and you do not get to tell me to stop talking.
All right, so what do we address first?
What's your name, Robin to her Batman?
I'm Catherine.
Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
I'm Violin Catherine on Twitter. I guess you can pronounce that, huh?
I didn't ask, but thank you.
And you guys were principally, like you coordinated Communicon, like, right? Like, I mean...
She did.
Right. All right. So what the concept, okay, why do I need to stop talking?
In 3 words or less.
I thought that you were hurting yourself and you were hurting the fans. I didn't say you should stop talking because I think... Well, I did say you should stop.
You literally did.
But in the context... I'm sorry, should I eat my mic?
Eat your mic.
In the context...
Yeah, talk into the mic.
Okay, sorry. Right.
There is a danger that when you say things into this, that it will end up reflecting poorly on you.
That's true, but I really didn't think that you would go so far as to have me up here. But so I'm glad. I'm glad to have that chance.
Is this punishment?
I don't know, is it?
Do you not want to be up here?
Well, you don't like feeling like you're under attack, so I don't particularly like it myself either. But,
okay, so yeah. You don't want to be up here?
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see where you're going.
What kind of fucking jiu-jitsu is going on?
Dan, if she doesn't stay up here, I will stay up here and defend her.
Well, I don't doubt that. There's a lot of energy coming from this concept. Do you understand why I would want you to come up here?
Listen,
so that we can have it out,
yes.
So that we can be on honest ground, so that tonight everyone, whether they love Community, hate Community, don't give a shit about Community, love me, hate me, don't give a shit about me, we can all go home tonight and go to fucking sleep and wake up in an honest world. Why should I stop talking?
Okay. Yes, it is great that you cared, and I love that you care, and I think you're brilliant, and I think that the show is obviously wonderful, or I wouldn't be here. I've spent all the money to get here. When I read the comments, and I'm not the only person who said this, Stan, is that not that you should stop talking, but you let them bait you to the point where it distracts people from wanting to enjoy the show. New fans, people who don't know you, people who don't know that this is... your persona or the who you are, and they say, who the hell is Dan Harmon? I don't like to see that happen. I'm so happy that you're back. I am over the moon happy that you're back. I wouldn't have put all the time and passion into doing what I do online to get people to watch the show and to love the show if I didn't care. So when I hear you say those things, I don't think you shouldn't say them. And people said to me, you should come and see him at Communicon. You should come see him in Harmontown and see what he's really like as a person. He's not that's a shit quote that was in Vulture. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that because I saw your response to me the other day and it hurt. And I said, well, right, I see his point.
It hurt me to be defensive and express my pain.
What was your response, Dan?
Sorry?
What was the response?
She said that she was going to come to the show, and I said, maybe the topic of the show should be how I should stop talking.
Yes.
That hurt you?
Well, no. Okay. It didn't hurt me in the sense that my feelings were hurt. I realized, like many people do, that on Twitter, the things that you say can come back and bite you, just like the things that you say on a subreddit came back and bit you, and you felt like you needed to respond to it. And that's why I didn't respond to that, because you know what? The dude is right. It's his show. And I'm sitting here saying he should stop talking. I meant in terms of, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit going to be going around and sounding like I don't quite know what I mean, because it's complicated. You're a complicated person. I find the whole concept of trying to understand where you're coming from as a person to be something that I wrestle with, but I also tell everyone that I think you're a total genius and that the show wouldn't be the same without you. We all know what season 4 was like, and that's also why it hurt.
What do you mean?
Okay.
What on earth do you mean?
Okay.
Get those camp phones out, everybody.
Please.
Hit record right now.
Please tell Vulture and Defamer and TMZ what you mean by that. Please tell the AV Club what you mean.
Right.
Say anything after the word season 4. Say anything. Say season 4, I like Arby's. And see how they twist it. And you didn't even create the show. So, I mean, there's a lot of energy on that topic. And it's tough sometimes.
Lisa, can I? I mean, I'm coming at this from a very, like, from the back row here. But it sounds to me like you love the show, obviously. You really love Community.
Yes.
And there's two different things here. There's Dan Harmon, the guy, and then there's the show that Dan created. And do you feel that you like Dan a little bit less than you like the show? You worry that Dan has the capacity to hurt the thing that you care about, which is good. No, I'm not trying to be flippant. You feel like Dan has the capacity to actually be destructive to the thing that you care about more, right? Community? Am I getting that wrong?
Yes and no.
It's possible if Paul Newman makes salad dressing and then Paul Newman is in the paper going like, I hate women. like it could hurt salad dressing sales.
It could hurt his salad dressing sales, sure.
It could hurt, yes, not all salad dressing sales. It might actually cause a spike in Hidden Valley Ranch, yes. I'm saying his salad dressing sales, yes, would be harmed by him saying something like that. So you're looking at me as like a Colonel Sanders or like a Ronald McDonald, which I am, like in relation to Community. When it says, because those articles say, Community creator lashes out at rape victims. Loves what happens to them. Thinks it's hilarious. Created Community. Do you think you should watch it on Thursday? That's what those headlines do. And so as a fan, you're like, oh, God damn it. I'm trying so hard just to get people to mobilize and watch the show and get that 1.2 up to a 1.3. And he's undermining me. Paul Newman is undermining my pro-salad dressing campaign.
Wow.
You're frowning like you disagree with anything I'm saying. I'm saying that's my best guess at what you're going through.
No, I don't think you're undermining me. I worry about people hearing that and thinking that you're a dick and that they don't want to watch the show.
Right, that's what I just said.
Okay, yeah, no, but you're saying it sounds like they're undermining me. They're not undermining me.
It seems like there's two people that hate each other on stage, but you don't. You love... How do you feel about Dan Harmon, the individual?
I don't hate you. Why would I hate you?
Wow.
I'm really confused.
There's two people on stage. One of them does not like being told not to talk. That's me for sure. I'll own up to that. Sounds like that's also how you feel, because a mere reply to your tweet hurt your feelings. You said something and I responded to it and it hurt your feelings.
Let me rephrase.
Being brought up here feels like an attack.
Are you making an
responses
example out
to
of
the
me?
Things that you say make you feel like a bad person. You feel under scrutiny. You feel like you're under a microscope. You feel like people want you to be different.
Catherine, you have a microphone in your hand. Just start talking into the mic.
Lisa, can I just...
What I'm assuming is a friend of yours is on stage and she's champ.
No, Kat, I won't.
In 60 seconds, we can come out.
No.
Hey, Lisa, I'm comptroller. Shut up. Catherine, go ahead. You have the conch.
All right, Dan.
No,
let me, 60 seconds, let me talk. And you take the mic back. Let me talk.
She really doesn't like people to talk.
Okay.
I mean, two dots draws a segment and it's almost a line, man.
There you go.
She tried to get me.
All right, Dan, we've worked our butts off on Twitter for season 4, season 5, looking at season 6. This girl spent day and night with Mike in Canada to get season 5. I don't want her to get pissed off and quit. right now. There's a reality. Okay, I love you. I'm just saying it. I need to stand up for you right now. The other thing is, okay, as an AV club member on that 160,000 comment board, we love you, and we want you to come hang out with us, and it's sad. Okay, you can go to Reddit and be nice to them, but you're going to attack a community fan leader, and then you're going to go and, like, shun the AV club. I'm just personally, like, go to the people who love you and come back and be like, okay, what on earth, instead of just coming back hard, because we do love you.
There's so much backstory and underlying stuff to this that's so confusing to people, though. That's what I'm saying. When I wake up in the morning, here's what I do. I wake up and I go, my name is Dan Harmon. I am going to think things. They're going to drop down out of my brain by gravity and come out of my mouth. Some of this stuff is going to go through my fingers because I won't have time to say everything and end up being a TV show if I'm lucky. I've been doing that for 40 years and counting. So that's how I operate every given day. And then this wonderful thing called the internet, which doesn't demand eye contact from me. Like, I get to go in, and I love going in. I was born on the internet. I go in and somebody says to me, hey, Dan, what does it feel like to write that show? And I go, you know what? Sometimes it feels like a penguin fucking a moose. And only recently, this weird flash in the pan, like, it's worth money to print a headline that says, like, community creator says penguins fuck mooses. And that has something to do with the thing. So that's an issue that we all are experiencing, all of us. And when we experience it, like, we all have it's a bummer for me. But here's how I handle it. I go, oh, fuck, that sucks. And you go, oh, fuck, that sucks. And you go, that sucks. We all go to bed. But I don't say to anybody, even Defamer, Vulture, anybody, I never say, someone's got to stop doing something that they've been doing. I go to bed, I wake up, and I keep doing it. And I experience pain because of it, just like I did on the playground. Just like all the characters in Community, you know, are constantly being punished for who they are. The outside world closes in on you as you express your humanity. It's an important theme of the show, and it's run by a psychopath. It's run by somebody who just goes, bah, bah, bah. And I'm bummed out. I'm a little baby, a little poopy pants baby about the idea of being told to shut up and what I should and shouldn't do. It's like a big issue with me. And I didn't, like, go off on you or anything. I tweeted back at you, like, a defensive, like, low, like, I rolled over, exposed my belly to you.
Do I get to jump in now?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right. Look, you tweeted back at me, and it gave me pause, and I talked to my friends, most of whom are here tonight, who all said, you know what, Dan does run off at the mouth. He doesn't mean anything bad to people about it. He's not trying to hurt anyone. Maybe he's hurting himself. Maybe you should think twice about what you said. Maybe you should go to Harmontown, see what he's really like. Came to see you at Communicon. Came away from that thinking, I can see why he's such a powerful figure and why people like him so much. It's interesting to hear you talk. I was hearing those sound bites out of Vulture, like, that you're complaining about, and I responded it thinking, here's a man who makes a show I admire. Here's a show that I really want to succeed and see succeed in season 5. I'd like to see more. I wish he would stop talking because it just makes him look bad. And I don't want you to look bad. So if that's bad, and if that puts me stupid, or I'm attacking you, or I don't even know exactly what we're getting at right now, because my head is swirling a little bit because I'm being...
It's tough up here, yes. And I choose to be up here because I'm self-destructive. Like, I just to respond to that, like, yeah. Did you watch the Sarah Silverman program? I got fired from that. I got fired from every job I had in Milwaukee. I was like, you caught me at a normal time in my life. I have been getting fired my entire life. Everybody that I work for eventually goes, did I like the Sarah Silverman program?
No.
Did I like? It's a bummer to me. I wish that I could be who I was and constantly get promoted. That would be great if people gave me cakes all the time instead of firing me, I guess. But the truth is, the way that they respond to who I am is they fire me. But at the same time, like, I like my life. Like, I like the way things are going. I got a hybrid.
I got a golden doodle. I got a redhead girlfriend.
In that order.
But the thing that we're talking about, this is why I wanted to bring you up. And you're like me, as soon as somebody's like talking about what you're saying, you know, I'm feeling what you're feeling when we come up here and talk about this. That's why. Here's the thing
I
have found.
I'm feeling frustrated, so I guess I am experiencing.
But here's the thing that I have found. When the autonomic response slowly fades down, when we talk about it for 10 minutes longer than people usually talk about it, and this show does everything 10 minutes longer than anything, this miracle starts to happen. When I'll tell you why this show exists and why my MySpace blog exists and why everything that I've ever done that has gotten me in trouble exists, why there's a letter online that I wrote to an 8-year-old kid about Steven Spielberg being a hack because I didn't like Monster House enough, why I'm famous before that for saying that my Kung Fu Panda sucked and all this shit. Like every fucking job I've ever worked at, there's always like this thing that comes up that I go like, I'm an asshole. I say this shit that gets me in trouble. But in the like, here's another thing that has always happened. Like when I first came out to LA, I was working for Ben Stiller, and it was just happenstance. All of a sudden, I'm working for this famous guy, Ben Stiller. And we were going to have a party at our place in Koreatown. And I was going to invite him over. And Rob Schraub said, you know, you should probably leave a funny message on his message machine. We had machines back then. And so I practiced a funny message. And I ran it through in my head a couple times, and I dialed his number, and I tried to leave a funny message on his machine. I kind of fucked it up, and I had to call back because I forgot to leave my contact info. And it was a horrible experience that I walked away from, because of course he never showed up for the party. I had so much shame about it locked down in my body that 3 years later, I would open my refrigerator to make a sandwich in the privacy of my own home, and the color of the mustard bottle would somehow remind me of the time I left a fucking shitty, funny message on Ben Stiller's voicemail. There was this tipping point where I said, I gotta stop making this my problem. And I went over to my computer and I typed up the story of how I left a funny message on Ben Stiller's answering machine. And I clicked submit on it, and it was a blog entry. And there was no guarantee that anyone was going to read it. It was just a message in a bottle that I whipped out into the ocean, and it was gone. It was out of my heart. And everybody in this room, everybody on this planet is walking around with all the shit that we do that is shameful, and all this rage that we have and all these sexual perversions. And we collect them and we buy bottle them up. And I don't think it's a good idea for everybody to barf them onto each other. But I know that I would go insane, and that I would be a toxic, horrible Portuguese man of war, half dead on the beach. TMZ headline, Dan Harmon lashes out at the Portuguese.
And jellyfish.
I would be filled with toxicity if I didn't like put it out. The weird thing about putting it out is it doesn't poison other people. It turns into comedy. It turns into things that they can it feels cathartic to them. A lot of people basically just say, oh, if that dumb, fat, piece of shit, petty asshole can get up there and be honest about being a big fucking dumb shithead, maybe I wasn't doing something so wrong my whole life. And so I do that stuff. And I'm going to keep doing it. And the whole time I'm like very defensive about the idea of being like, I feel that pressure. Community was a new chapter in my life. It was this plot point that happened to me. I stumbled into this job of being able to actually affect people and being the Colonel Sanders of this thing. And it was like 15-year-old girls following me on Twitter and me having to go, I can't tweet about jerking off anymore. I could, but it doesn't feel right. They're only following me because Joel McHale follows me. It's a 15-year-old girl. You start to ask yourself who you are, what you have a right to say, and it only constricts in from there. I forgot my point a long time ago, but that's where I come from, and my point of bringing you up here was absolutely not. I knew that if I did, I knew that there would be on both of our parts. My cheeks got hot, my ears got hot. I knew that would happen. But I didn't want it to happen. I knew it would have disastrous results. Probably tomorrow, it's probably too late to prevent that. Because it's a juicier story and whatever happened right away. But I also knew that something would be resolved. That something would go, just finish it. Just be done with it. Some of you guys love a television show so much that the guy that created it is an obstacle in its path. And I think that's a beautiful thing, but it's an obstacle that's not going to go away.
But you see, that's
you. I'm not cueing that applause. It's going to sound like Dan Harmon brings up a community fan in a fucking dogfight pit and makes them applaud him saying he's a hero. I anticipated everybody in the audience being a Communicon attendee. That's why I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to just be more apology and atonement than anything. I wanted to explain to you guys, without promising that I'm going to change, because I'm not going to. I wanted to somehow explain to you guys that this is who I am.
Okay. Well, I know
so he doesn't need to stop talking.
Lisa, use your mic.
There's no
microphone,
way.
Lisa.
Oh, sorry. Eat the mic. There's no way for me out of this conversation. So, yeah, I don't.
You could be human and.
Do you want me to apologize?
Yes. Tell me your feelings. Your feelings. Don't talk about
Lisa.
Me.
Lisa, yes, what's? I'm not trying to poke or prod here. Like, what's unresolved for you in this? Because you still seem pretty wound up about it. Like, what's the unresolved issue for you?
Well, how do I seem wound up about it? I haven't said anything.
Use your microphone. So we can hear you.
I'm not sure what you want from me. Yes, I'm sorry. I said a throwaway comment to you that made you upset and made you feel like you had to go.
But it's symbolic of a larger thing. There's a big sea of magma under there.
Yeah.
The fandom.
So am I here as an example for all fandom?
Well, probably, right? No?
I don't
know.
Do
you not want to speak for fandoms, like frustration with my PR?
I can't speak for anyone but myself.
Well, okay, then talk about, have you said that, then how you feel?
I think I've already explained twice now that I said that, and I've talked to people about it, and they said, find out who he really is, and now I feel like I really have found out who you are, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. You can say whatever you want. We did it.
We did it. Lisa and Catherine, everybody, thank you so much.
Fantastic. Good job.
Thank you, Lisa.
There was a thing about season 5, too. Thank you for season 5.
I felt that was healthy.
No. I felt like it for a little bit. All right. Let's bring Spencer Crittenden up.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
You got any opinions about how that shook down?
I almost passed out
from boredom, or
because
from...
all the blood was in my penis.
Do you get turned on by fandom issues, or
I said the passed out thing, and then I thought that would be a natural link. It just came out of me,
yeah,
like all the semen during that conversation.
Spencer, when's your HBO special coming up?
Yeah,
we learn more about you every week.
Yeah,
so
that was fascinating as a bystander to watch that, because it was clearly there's emotions that people have about the show, and it's very interesting.
I think it's like being in a hall of mirrors for me. I think there's projection upon projection upon projection upon projection. I feel so fucking much when I go into any comment section or article like about the things that I do, and it's the only right way to do it would be to be so detached that I can't see myself being that kind of person. And yet at the same time, everybody who says the same thing they've been saying over and over and over again, which is like, stop it. Stop responding. Stop getting wound up by it. Stop being a petty person. Like, they're all right. They're all absolutely correct. That is not how Vince Gilligan goes about his business. That is not how you, that is not how good people make a good show. But it's like, I don't know when to, you know, like, when do you dye your beard? Like, oh, it's 40% gray. It's 60% gray. Oh, my temples are gray. I got a little thinning on top. Like, when do you start manipulating who you are and what how people perceive you? Like when is that dishonesty and when is that like maintenance?
Do you think there'll ever come a point for you? I mean, do you aspire to a healthier place when things don't bother you like that? Do you foresee that even being possible?
I don't. I mean, here's what a healthy guy looks like on the internet. He's not there. He's healthy. Why would he be on the internet? If he is on the internet, what he usually looks like is he has a little Eyes Wide Shut mask on his face because he's not calling himself the guy that his boss can fire. He's calling himself a Scuba Tube 69, and he's just yelling at people about jet propulsion or racism. Like and the internet is like the sewer / glory hole that people use. It's a weird like I'm 40 years old. Like I've really never. Never, rarely, like, done the anonymous thing. Like, I've always been myself, like, on the internet. Maybe that's a weird self-destructive thing that I've always done. Like, I should have a long time ago just, like, burst into a weird aerosol of weird characters that can just blog their hearts out about how much everyone's a piece of shit.
But do you think there'll ever be some sort of crossover where you become, you know, Buddha and you just let things wash over you and you don't care? Or is that part of what drives you
on the internet? No,
no, no. I mean, in general, like you know, you don't like being told what to do. You don't like people saying tie your shoe, bro. And that's, you know, like that, you have a very strong reaction to anybody telling you to stop being you, to alter you. Okay, and you know, and that's a good thing to not like. But do you ever see yourself just like becoming, you know, just becoming the dude about it, like letting it all happen? And like,
yeah, I don't, I'm not looking forward to it. Like I get a lot of most of the good things that I do out of a nervousness that people aren't going to like me if I do something else.
Yeah,
I'm not looking forward to the guy I become when I am forced to disconnect.
You probably stop writing. You probably stop. You know,
I don't know. I might start writing really nasty shit. I don't know. I have no idea what I'd do. I don't know if it would be more or less marketable. What I wrote. I don't know. I tell you, I've definitely reached a tipping point. I've definitely reached a point of like clearly, if I was in therapy right now, I know that the therapist a long time ago, listening to my description of what I've been going through, he would have said, you have to figure out who the fuck you are, because what's happening to you is you are going to strangers to figure out who you are. And when you do that, you get what you deserve. You are going to get static as a result. And you're going to take that in as a personality. That is what a crazy person does. A sociopath, but in reverse. A sociopath is you know, has efficacy. A sociopath can like taxi a plane down a runway because he doesn't care what other people think. It's like some weird, what am I?
Well, that's a very,
I don't know who I am unless people are reacting to me. I now know I'm a bad person because Lisa was like, you know, like bummed out up here.
If your identity is defined by, because like a lot of, not a lot of who you are, because you're a very singular person, but like a lot of your identity when you're working on community, that's who you are. It's a relationship that you have. The characters are kind of you. The show is you. People like or don't like the show. That means they like or don't like you. That's thin ice, like psychologically.
Yeah, you don't go into a job like writing TV with unresolved psychological issues.
That's a bad gymnasium to work out.
Yeah. You're not going to tone your muscles there. You're going to like exacerbate and Charlie horse like pre-existing conditions.
Let's say you wrote a show that was a giant, huge, popular success, or the whole, like, you know, you have The Big Bang Theory, you have Breaking Bad, you got the show that the universe loves, you're on all the talk shows, and everybody's adoring you. Do you think that would be more comfortable?
No, I think I would figure out a way to self-destruct.
I do. Because I would feel like a fraud. I would feel, I think that's oppositional defiant disorder or something. I would go like, well, I must be doing something wrong. Nobody's pissed off. Nobody's, this is not working. I would figure out a way to fuck it up.
So is it you not liking being told what to do, or is it you like, you know, you're Andy Dick, you want to get punched at the bar, you're going to keep grabbing ass until somebody throws a punch at you?
I don't know.
I love you, Andy, if you're listening. Although you stole my fucking beer yesterday, you cunt.
I feel like animals, like, you put them in a big pen and, like, there's a, like, maybe there's one of the animals that, like, has some kind of, because it was a puppy mill puppy or something, like, I got to keep digging in some dark corner.
I would imagine you're never going to really change that, or, like, it's, I think it's always going to be
a
thing.
Compulsion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, like, it's a tick. Like, I look at my brother, he's, like, frustratingly the same way.
Well, there's a thing about you, like, you can be, like, part of what drives you, like, you clearly, like, when you write anything, like, Dan and I took an acting class years ago, and it was monologues, and so we would be at a bar an hour before the class with no monologues, and Dan would go, okay, I'm going to go home, I'm going to write you a monologue about you being in the CIA, I'm going to write me a monologue about being King Minos, and I'll see you at the class, and we'd have 5 minutes to look it over and kind of memorize it and do it, and they were great, really, really good. So there's something going on in your brain that makes you very, very good at typing thoughts down and making good writing out of ideas that you have. It also, there has to be a deficit. There has to be something on the other side of that scale that makes you a crazy person in certain ways. You can't be good at that and good at everything else. And the same way, like, being a friend with you, like, there's times when you just spent so much friendship and so much wisdom. Like, you can come to you with a problem, and I could just tell you a dream I had, and you go, well, look, this is what you're going through, and you're Yoda. You live in goop, and you dispense Yoda wisdom. And there's other times when you're just not there. Like it's not like a faucet that's always on. You can be completely distant and unapproachable, you know, as a friend, but you get both of those things. Like you get incredible outpouring of attention, and then you get zero. You know, I mean, that's part of. You know, he's looking at his phone.
Yeah, what are you talking?
You see what it's like?
I'm sorry, Mitch Hurwitz is texting me.
Yeah, sure he is. Did you hear?
I'll get back to you later. What
did you hear? What I was
lately?
Saying? You listening to what I was?
Something about I'm a bad person. I don't know.
Perfect.
Our next guest. I do feel like what we should do, like, at least for a couple rounds, just because I feel like there was an intensity to that exchange, and those ladies, like, they represent the, I mean, what you say, they represent the fandom, and then they don't want to be accused of that or whatever.
No, I feel like she represented herself. I think she's in a weird position. That,
and
like,
I
don't think she wants to represent everybody. I think in some weird way she kind of now has to, because you came up as the voice of a certain thought. But you really, she's just being Lisa, having her own visceral reactions to things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And got punished for it, for sure. And I will always do that. I will always punish people for telling me not to talk. But speaking of which, who wants to tell me not to talk? We don't do this a lot. Do like a little Q&A. Let's grab a couple, because there's a lot of Communicon people here. Is there any questions at Communicon that didn't get fielded? Yes, back in the back of the room?
Way in the back.
Yeah.
This is what I really should have asked. Is there going to be more Inspector Space
Time? There's
no.
Well, no, I'm sorry. There's no Inspector Space Time in season 5. As of right now.
There's not enough space or time.
That's true. There's not enough space or time. Yeah. And I kind of felt like I've talked about this before. Like, Inspector Space Time was like it had this like really lofty goal. I wanted it to actually be what it did start to become, which is like the show dialoguing with the fans. But what happened was that like it was so successful at doing that Sony Legal kind of panicked, not to vilify them. Like, they didn't really realize what they were getting into. And there was some poor guy whose job it was at Sony Legal that had to watch all the Doctor Who's and start to, he had to, some guy whose job it is to...
Well, there's somebody in this audience who goes, I'll take that job.
I know, and then some poor guy at Sony who didn't want that job is like... I
get paid to watch all the Doctor Who's again?
Yeah. That's what's so funny about it to me, is that this poor guy in a tie, I picture him in a tie with like, and a little adding machine in his desk, is like writing these emails going like, well, this is obviously a reference to K-9.
you can't kid a kidder. It's you know, it's a robot cat and a robot dog. We get it. Like, he had to like take in all of the minutia. Anyways, another question? Let's go with that hand there.
I don't know if it's a question or not, but it's
who the fuck do you think you are? Okay, that's good. I'm glad you asked. Dad? No, go ahead.
I just think that, you know, it's talking about, like, how fans feel about the whole thing, you know, what you said about season four and whatnot. I just think that most of us recognize that the show wouldn't be what it is if you don't do what you do all the time, you know? It's like, you put yourself into that show, and that's why it's so great.
Is there a question in there?
Hang on!
Don't bully him. He's praising me. It's like,
I just hate when people, you know, don't give questions.
And I think you know what most fans feel about, like, you know, what you said about season four. How you feel about season four, I mean, we can't even imagine. But the writers that's, you know, stuck with it and did it and kept the show on the air.
Is there a question in there?
The reason that you are now doing it again with Chris, right?
And yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why Dan's gone back?
So do you feel any sort of, like, gratitude for what they did in keeping it on the air?
Nice.
And in case that didn't get picked up over the microphone,
Do I feel any gratitude to the people that worked on season four? It's like if the answer to that is no, I might as well just like walk into a barrel of tar. Of course, I feel anybody that worked on a show that had that title, you know, especially like I did say, like you know, the guys that did take over running it, they clearly like looked at what they were up against and actually made the weirder decision, which was to try to do the weirder show, which they did not have to do and may have been like, looking at that, I was like, wow, they didn't have to do that. And of course, anybody that was working on that show was not doing it to say fuck you to me. It's hard to separate that from the kind of brain that just gets up here and says, well, my garage needs to be cleaned out so everyone can go fuck themselves and die. You know, it's like I'm not a diplomat and a politician, and I am so sorry when I say, like, well, I watched season four. Well, what was that like? Well, it was like this for me. Boom. That's what it was like for me. And I was talking about myself and talking about this stuff. And then the next day, it's like, oh, shit, I forgot to add, or it wasn't as delightful for me to add. Of course, hats off to anybody. And then you think about the fact that I watched season four once and probably – I mean, look, here's the other thing. If I watched season two, it would be like, ba-boom. You probably heard my commentary on the DVDs. I'm not a big fan of my own work when I watch it again. So I was definitely not going to be a big fan. I think the most noble thing I did was not watch that season until I had to, because I had to go back. Because I knew, I think, that it was probably the only healthy part of my brain was like, you're going to fuck it up for everybody if you watch that thing. And I watched it, and then I came up here, like, whatever. I said how I feel, and it sucks when I say how I feel and it hurts other people. It sucks. Yes, of course, everyone that worked on that season is a hero. Everyone that works on any half hour of television, I don't even care if it's like Tim Allen, Go Ask Grandpa, or what.
Is he grandpa, or does he play
she's not. How dare you? It's a show about a young, vivacious hipster, Tim Allen, right, whose grandpa moves in with him, okay, after years of being apart, and he goes and asks him for advice because he knows it'll make him feel better. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's wonderful. It's got a lot of stop motion in it. It's crazy. All the sequences in the grandfather's den are done in stop motion. His father is like this Cthulhu-like creature who sits in the window and says, go ask grandpa. And then Tim Allen goes in and Grandpa always, sure enough, his advice always works out. Like, half right, half wrong.
Is the A story always something that Tim Allen's, like, Tim Allen has to, like, you know, like he's on a date or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's like, oh, my wallet chain got caught on the doorknob. Yeah. But then there's the other story is like, well, Grandpa said I need to get into the restaurant. Now my wallet chain's caught, and that's the end of the second act. It's like, well, shit. Third act is he took off his pants. It's everything's fine. Forgot what I was talking about. The people that work on network television shows are anybody that would ever imply that their time was less valuable to them would be a villain. That's hard work. They go home very tired. A lot of times they don't make it all the way home. They pull over to the side of the road and go to sleep. Sometimes I was one of these people, pull into their garage and could only make it that far and then fall asleep in their garage with their cars running. And every once in a while, statistically, you know, something happens because we push the limits of human labor on those televisions.
Is that why you got a hybrid?
So I could sleep twice as long, yeah. It's true. I'd probably be dead right now if I didn't have a hybrid. Like I remember one night waking up in my garage with the car running. I was like, oh shit, it's a hybrid.
You should have just installed some ventilation in there, man.
The crazy thing would be if people would think, they would have to figure out, was it a suicide? Well, did he have any? They would just like coin. Who would? Trying to figure that out. If you want to murder me, like, do that. Like,
yeah. There's a Columbo episode going on right now.
Yes, of course. God damn it. And also, in a larger sense, I can't apologize enough for anything I said that hurt the people that worked on that shit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I crabbed off at Megan Gans on Twitter. I'm sorry I feel like it's some kind of personal issue for me that they made a season of my TV show without me. I'm sorry. I think it's my TV show. That's already a petty perspective. You know, that's how the fans feel. It's how I feel. It's a fan's perspective. A larger person like a Paul Newman would be like, it's not my salad dressing. I don't care if you found a rat tail in it. I was in Butch and Sundance. I don't give a fuck, really.
He's too busy hating on women.
Anyway, let's do one more and then let's move on. Let's go up in front here. Oh, it's Julieta. Super fan Julieta.
Yeah, and I have a question.
All right.
You're having an animated episode?
Do you mean psychologically?
Yeah. Yeah. That too. I mean, for season 5 in Community, and I'm an animator, and...
here we go.
So, why? Why would you not... help me out, man.
Yeah, Dan, stop being a dick.
This is a whole other episode where you come up here and we talk about this. James at Starburns got you a work visa,
yeah,
right?
It got to me way too late, so they had to get...
Well, boo-hoo.
Wait, he did try to help you out?
No, James Spino. From Starburns.
Under orders from Colonel Sanders. You think he would just come up with that idea on his own? He's a great guy, but my God.
Yes. So where is it standing right now? You didn't get a visa, so you can't work on a show?
I got it, but it took too long to arrive, so they had to give my job to someone else. Because, you know, I understand that TV show has to get made without me. So.
Seems like you're dealing with it pretty well.
To come here because I don't like my job.
Where do you work?
We could give her a mic if she didn't keep talking. Let's mic her.
All right, come up, Julieta.
Julieta.
Come
on,
what up? Yeah, I'm an animation teacher at a university.
Oh.
Which reminds me of Greendale.
Yeah. And you hate teaching these people.
I don't enjoy hate teaching them.
Enjoy this time in your career when you can say this and there's no repercussions.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, no one's going to listen to this. I mean, from my hometown, my students are not going to listen to this.
Well, I can make sure they do. Watch this. Season 4 of Community was like Monterrey, Mexico. Population 16,000.
4 million.
4 million?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I am actually really grateful that you remember my little rant.
Of course I do. You know, the real reason I do is because I play this game Pocket Planes on my iPhone.
Okay.
And Monterey is like my big strategic, like, layover city.
Oh, I'm so glad that we are useful for something other than drug dealing.
I'm going to go, I'm going to sing karaoke after this, and I'm going to sing It Happened in Monterey in your honor tonight.
Oh, my God. Woo! I am really flattered about that.
And you think we don't do shit for you?
Come again?
Look what we do for you.
Oh, so all we do is think about you, Julieta.
Well, it's likewise. You know, I honestly, and this is serious, I cannot listen to Harmontown because I get depressed because I'm not here. I cannot. It's.
But you'll always be here in the form of these keychains.
Aww.
Made. That's me hanging from my hands. All right.
Well, yeah. I love you, Dan, and I respect you.
No.
Thank you, Julieta. See, thank you, sweetheart. Wow, Dan. You finally get what you want, and someone to come up here and praise you. Go, meh.
I did it as a joke.
I don't think you did. I think it's...
Well, newsflash, I'm not likable. That's why I write. I don't.
If you were likable, what would you do?
Dude, I would just... I would. You know what? I would be a majorette. I would lead parades.
You have a little baton? Like a little tutu?
Yeah, I would twirl. I swear to God, I would just be out in front of every parade. No matter what's it, Thanksgiving? Hey, Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving. Look at me, time for Thanksgiving. The reason I do what I do is because if I did that, everyone would go, what's to be thankful for, really? Maybe we should just watch Wizard of Oz and the, you know, Macy's Day would parade would shut down. But if I could just be popular, I would teach girls how to play billiards. By wrapping my arms around them. No, you're doing it wrong.
But in a likable way.
Yeah. I would manage a bank for 6 months and just be like, who needs some money? Oh, you can't have any. I'm sorry. If I did that, I feel like people, like if I said, you can't have a loan, people would be like, you fucking gross fat turd. And I'd go like, shit, she's right. And kill myself. So I stay away from that. There's so much you could do if you're popular. If you could walk away from anything going like, she's wrong. I'm unconditionally lovable. I would do anything. I would probably be a serial killer. Because that's like the top job that people like come down on. If you were really popular, you could... Yeah, like... You could really... Yeah, you're right. It doesn't pull down anything here. I don't know. I mean, it's like if you were popular... That's why...
Well, I mean, you are popular by the definition now. You're a popular figure now.
But
you mean like...
I don't know if you're paying attention to what happened tonight, for instance. Like,
Part of being popular is also you now
can affect people.
Yeah, I mean, like when you were
like, you know, bad guys in the movies. You know what they do? They like stay in a castle and they use crystal balls and long fingernails to make shit happen. That's writing. That's what that is. The good guys are out there ripped, like slaying demons with their actual sword and like making out with chicks. Like they go places, and the bad guy is like, I'm angry at myself and no one likes me, so I'm gonna have efficacy. I'm gonna write Cheers. I want to touch people, but if I touch them in real life, they'll slap me. That's what writing is. It's a gross person getting a hug. I can't believe that's surprising to anybody. Who do you think does this?
That's so sad and so sweet at the same time.
Who do you think puts this kind of time into that? You know, like a document that says hug me, hug me, hug me, hug me, hug me, hug me. Not a person that gets hugs all the time. I mean, now everyone's going to rush the stage and hug me. All right. You didn't?
No.
All right. I'm kidding. Why don't we get into Dungeons & Dragons?
Sweet.
Do you want more players or what?
Fuck no, man.
All right. The gruesome twosome. Hey, man, we still got character sheets and shit.
Should I hold the music?
Well, at least rewind it.
Well, let's
in the
check
future.
In with Spencer while he's sorting our stuff out. What's going on? What's it like being my assistant?
This is the same question every week.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's cool. I'm glad that sometimes, you know, we feel more comfortable talking about my weaknesses as an assistant now. Because, you know, that sort of feedback is important to me, and it helps me hopefully improve my job.
Where do you feel like you're dropping the ball, Spencer?
I just, I come from a lot of jobs where you had, like, everything to do 100% of the time. Like, at Apple, like, there's always things to organize. Before that, I worked at a book company. And, like, there was literally just carts of books, and they wouldn't stop. So it was like, you know, that Sushi, I Love Lucy thing, but with books. So, I mean, so if I'm not constantly...
You mean the chocolate one?
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Sushi would have been awesome.
It's like that Sushi thing. It's like that Sushi thing in Drake and Josh. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I saw the I Love Lucy thing, too, to be fair, but... yeah, they executed a lot better. While I'm being the villain here, did anyone remember Eiffel 65?
Yeah!
No, not Blue. They had other songs. Specifically, that song PlayStation. Does anyone remember the PlayStation?
I don't even know what a Jake and Josh is. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's cool.
It's like a space baby.
I'm just... The PlayStation song has been stuck in my head. And
the PlayStation song, it's I'm blue, I'm blue, blue.
This is my nightmare. Nah, Blue was a good song also. I mean,
this is a song on a video game that you're talking
about? No, it was a song about PlayStation. And like Eiffel 65, they just like, they made their music in like Fruit Loops or something. It was just like synth pop stuff. Oh my God, all these buzzwords.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing my words just fly over your heads. It's amazing. But yeah, so...
Is it one of them rock and roll-y bands?
But all their song lyrics were just like really, really repetitive because they went along with like the dancey electronic kind of music. And back then that was kind of repetitive sometimes. So It was just, they were, most of the song was just listing off video games.
So are you saying you have that as an earworm right now?
Yeah, you're
struggling with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get the worst. I have an earworm song almost every day, and they're really bad. They're like the songs I don't... The worst when you have a song stuck in your head that you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like you don't even know the words to it, so it's stuck in your head, but you can't even sing it.
I heard somewhere that the most important part of an earworm is like the tempo. Like if you have a song stuck in your head, you have its tempo exactly right.
So how do you break that? What is?
I don't think he can, but I think it's like songs that have complicated tempos that just doesn't happen to.
Didn't Dino say that Colbert's cure?
No, wrong ones, dude.
Do you think Dino said that Stephen Colbert's cure for getting a song that's stuck in your head out is to sing the song and then go by Menon, and then you're done.
Wait, should we have a guest play Krista Berg?
I asked that and you said no.
No, I know. I thought about it now.
Okay.
Juliana. All right, well, let's have Julieta play Mulrain Sinana. There you go. And I'm just going to go by gut and have Tyler reprise Krista Berg.
All right, Tyler to the stage. Character sheets have been dispensed, so someone will pass mine down to me, please. And Spencer, take it away, sir.
All right. When we last met, our heroes had been climbing the spires of Admiral Darkstar's Black Keep in order to put a stop to the madman's evil schemes. After filling their room with lava, the heroes took refuge on massive stone statues, but as they plotted their next move, they were interrupted by a familiar face. Breffy. That spider creature from the Shadow Plane was back, re-engineered with metallic parts and a singular focus. Destroying Quark. Quickly, Quark climbed the chains, headbutting the cyborg spider with a dagger strapped to his face. Breffy shot back.
I had nothing to do with that.
That's true.
It's also pronounced narwhal, not norwhal.
I mean, I said it fine. No one's going to get that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Go on.
Narwhal.
Jesus. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
He shot spikes. It hit him in the stomach. Done.
All right.
All right. So we're still in the midst of this fight with our former ally turned enemy.
Okay. So what's our 20 right now? Where are we all positioned?
So everyone but Quark is standing on these three statues. Think of them as islands in a sea of lava. So above you lies a lattice of linked chains forming a sort of dizzying tangle or web of clanking steel. Above in this web of steel, you can see Breffy. He's kind of situated in the middle like a big spider. And Quark, you're up there with him. You're headbutting him in the face.
Didn't he get a chain impaled through him?
That was you.
Oh, shit.
You have a chain in your stomach. You're currently reeled in by the stomach chain, scorpion style.
But last I remember, I wanted this. This was something that I was into. I wanted to pull myself to him.
I mean, that's all you, man.
Can I start off by taking the dagger off of my head?
Good call.
Thank you. All right.
I'm in incredible pain, but that's a good idea.
You hear the skittering, scratching metal grate, and you see steel plates open up in Breffy's armor. You see spider-like metal things scramble out of his body and go into the tangle of chains around you. Spiders are all over the place.
Robot spiders.
Yeah, the worst kind.
And is the lava still rising?
Oh, yeah.
And how much
you're
room
you're fine. You're way ahead of everybody else. These guys are in dire straits.
I'm on Breffy's back, right?
You were... No, different. I don't think so.
Yeah,
okay. He was.
He was.
Thanks,
Thank
Adam.
You, Adam Goldberg. Yeah.
Yeah. Give credit where credit's due.
Where am I?
You are on one of these islands in the lava.
You are in Monterey.
Okay.
You should get up
Population
here
4 million.
You should get up here in the chains with us and fight this robot asshole.
I want you... Do I have rope?
You do.
Okay, so I tie a rope.
Why does everybody tie everything to everything? Sorry, go ahead.
So I tie my rope to my arrow, and I shoot it towards, like, somewhere where it can attach so I can, you know, climb.
Grappling
it.
Hook style.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that thing.
Okay, gotcha.
So I shoot two arrows, just one.
You shoot one arrow. As you shoot, you realize you must have not tied the rope or something correctly. Because
poopies.
The arrow is pulled into the lava.
Oh, poopies.
And trailing with it, all the rope falls into the lava.
Blah, blah.
Don't applaud that, Adam.
I rolled a critical fail, if anyone's wondering. So that's why that happened.
Oh.
I'm not just that's vindictive.
Also, why a rope is critically heavier than an arrow.
Yeah, it really throws off the aerodynamics. But I mean mostly the one.
The
mostly
aerodynamics. Yeah.
No,
arrows use aerodynamics.
They do.
So do aeroplanes. Putting it at Sharpie's turn.
Really? Well, shocking grasp on Breffy, upon whom I am standing.
Well, one quick question.
Yeah.
He has a metal chain coming out of him that's in me. If he shocking grasps him, is this bad times for me?
Well, I mean, that would have been a great question to ask 20 seconds ago.
Son of a bitch!
I think it'll be okay.
Oh.
Shocking grasp! Okay, so it hits.
If it was going to hurt anybody, it would hurt me.
Yeah.
It's coming out of my hands.
But you're magic.
Right. You know what? You are too.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Dealing 20 damage.
Oh, shit!
You feel him kind of buckle under the electric stress of the lightning, but he doesn't move further.
You like that?
No. Am I good? Am I good? I'm good?
I mean, sure.
Okay. I'm good. We're good.
You got a thing in your stomach. I mean, you're not great.
Right, but I'm not thing in my stomach and electrocuted.
Correct.
Okay.
Putting it at Quark's turn.
All right. It's clearly me that he's mad at because I fucked him and then stabbed him in the back of the neck and killed him a long time ago.
In that order?
I think so, yeah. As I recall, I got up on top of him. He was unconscious, and I wooed him to sleep, kind of. I was really romantic, and then I started fucking him. And then I took a sword out and drove it through the back of his skull, right?
Yeah.
Well, as long as you were romantic about it.
Yeah, I mean. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I take out my far sword with a flaming sword, and I use my far sword attack on Breffy.
Using your far sword attack on Breffy, you cut a wide swath of flame.
It hits.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You strike Breffy in three of his legs. They're burned. He takes 10 damage, and your far sword wave continues on, slicing through several of these chains and causing them to fall and kind of hang down.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be good. We could use those to climb up, maybe.
Yeah. As it happens, he kind of readjusts his balance to compensate for this. But he's unsteady now that he's got all these wounded legs going on.
Ooh. Go for the legs, you guys. He can't stay up there without legs.
Most of us can't.
Yeah.
Just let me know when it's my turn.
I will. Putting it at Christaberg's turn.
Okay.
No, seriously, let me know when it's my turn.
I definitely will.
Okay, don't worry, we'll let you know.
I just said that.
Okay. I'm helping. So I have a chain in me. That's not great.
Yep.
I'm attached to him.
Yep.
I'm going to use my Armlet of Autumn and go invisible and see if I can get a little bit closer to him without him noticing that. I mean, he might notice I'm attached to him, but I'm going to at least try. I'd like to get in closer to him while invisible.
Yep, that happens. I was just making sure you didn't run out of invisibilities for the day.
Christa Berg, he's hanging up at these chains by three legs. If he falls in and you're attached to him, aren't you going into the lava with him?
Whatever it takes.
Oh.
Wow. Fucking California, man. You go invisible on the end of the chain.
Okay.
Putting it at.
Yeah. Oh, that's it?
That's it.
All right, I'm invisible now.
Okay. These things happen. Putting it at Breffy's turn. Breffy turns his head all the way around like a robot owl person from that movie.
Clash of the Titans?
No. Exorcism. The Exorcist.
Okay. Well, there is a robot owl in Clash of the Titans.
There's all sorts of things in all sorts of places. But, Jeff, you just got to keep your head up.
Okay, man. You're right, Spencer. You're... Sorry, ever question.
And as his head turns around to look at Sharpie, his eyes begin to glow red and beams of light emit from them.
I assume that's the red light of remorse. And I just want to say, you don't have to feel bad. We've all made mistakes. Siding with Admiral Darkstar was one of yours. Murdering you for no reason was ours. I don't want to throw my friend under the bus, but we've always wondered about him. You've felt the pain, you've felt the burn. Now let's all live and learn.
Usually I let, like, the speech happen, but light is faster. I mean, it's the speed of light. So about, like, three words into that, your speech turns into something more resembling, like, ah, or something. You take 8 damage of searing, blazing heat.
8. All right, you're going to keep track of that, right? I'm going to...
Yeah, I think you and Christaberg are pretty much the only people hurt right now. Anyway.
She's all right.
At the same time, the spiders start to scuttle down the chains and start to get closer to all of you. They just finish jumping upon you. It wasn't a joke, I mean.
No, it's not.
I mean, spiders. That's what I just said. Anyway, Quark manages to dodge. However, the rest of you get hit by robotic spiders. You feel a kind of sharp sting as they try and... You feel their legs poking into your back. They stick. Stick onto your bodies.
Get it off!
I'm immersed!
Everybody, at Mulrain's turn.
This is an acupuncture!
Don't panic, everybody. I'll fuck him and kill them all.
Can your dick stand all these metal spiders?
We're going to find out.
Okay!
Thank you.
Well done.
Putting it at Moraine's turn.
What?
Putting it at Moraine's turn.
No.
What are you going to do, Moraine?
It's your turn.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm terrified by that metallic spider in my back.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know, like... how much space I have in my island. And
you're on a space about 3 feet square. There's about 3 feet above your head are some of these chains. You might be able to grab on.
I think in metric.
3 feet. 3 feet's a meter. I think that's a pretty fair thing to know.
2 liters of chains.
Okay, that's not too bad. Okay, so I have like this. Okay, I'm thinking. Okay. In how much pain am I?
I mean, not much. It's more the weirdness of a metal spider being on you that's the problem, you know?
Okay. Can I just, like, shove it off?
You can try, but it's on your back. It would be hard to shove.
What if I'm very flexible?
We'll see. You try and grab at it, and you get at it with both hands, but you can't prize it off your back.
Oh, well, there's a turn.
No, you got a move action if you'd like one.
Oh.
Get up on these chains.
Well, yeah. What? Since I can't do that, I'll just try to climb.
Makes sense to me.
$4.95 for the Razor Roading.
You leap upon a chain and start to pull yourself into the web, putting it at... Now, Dan, it's your turn. Sharpie's turn.
As I was saying... You are clearly stricken low, Breffy. You have chosen your foes and alliances unwisely. I understand why you chose them, but now you need to look at how practical those choices are, for we will kill you soon, and you will only be left with death and integrity. Join us now and have shame and life.
Do we really want a robotic spider that... Quark has fucked following us around. Fucked and killed.
He'll be like our Slimer. He'll, like, help us.
Are you implying that the Ghostbusters fucked Slimer?
Well, I don't know what happened that night. Like, I went... Yeah. I wasn't involved with that. I just know that we angered the spider. It was a lot of misunderstanding. Like, we go through this universe, Breffy. I'm talking to him. And we have random encounters with monsters.
We didn't Craigslist this. Come on.
And some of those encounters have non-conflict resolutions, and some of them don't appear to. And you know, things go off half-cocked, and I don't know, people get hurt. And I'm saying to you, brother, with my 11 charisma... and my... 12 in decipher script. I'm saying I can read the script of your face and I decipher your feelings. I forgive you. Do you forgive me?
No.
This is nice that you're doing this long conversation, because I've been using this time to climb around to get into prime fucking and killing position behind Breffy.
In that order?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. How close am I? Is it my turn?
I don't know. Are you done? I mean,
can I do something else?
Yeah.
Shocking grasp.
Despite being on his back, something about something, maybe it was just the long speech, it gave him the time to avoid your attack. You managed to miss touching him while being on his back.
All right. I guess I accept that.
Maybe you ran out of breath.
Yeah.
How close am I to the chains that that Breffy is hanging from?
You're about five feet away, pretty close.
Okay, can I use a cleave and try to get both of the chains?
Yeah.
Okay, I take my mighty sword and do a cleave to knock the... Oh, are you guys still attached to him?
I am.
This is a bad idea. Everybody get off!
How?
I don't... Oh, shit.
I pour a vial of acid on my chain. I have one of those.
Shit. Can I... I can't release him into the lava with you guys attached to him.
I mean,
I have a wire saw. I can go... I'm trying really hard.
That would just release you into the lava earlier.
Am I solely being suspended by the chain that he impaled me on?
Yeah, you're not. You're not like, yeah.
Fuck.
You're like an ornament.
I mean, do it, man. If he falls in the lava,
yeah, I can't do. Okay, I can't do that. As I'm about to do that, I realize that would be a terrible thing to do. So I go for cleave and try to get his remaining legs.
You try to go for the cleave. On the remaining legs. You strike, but one of them. dealing. Jesus Christ. 17 damage.
Yeah.
His leg is shorn completely off and falls into the orange lava.
So how many legs does he have now?
I'm attached to him.
Yeah.
Can I try to make a grab for a chain minute?
Just his leg falls into the lava.
Okay, just the leg. He's right?
Just the leg.
Okay, all right.
And he has 3 damaged legs that are still attached to his body. I mean, no, only one leg is gone. 3 are damaged.
Okay.
The rest are healthy legs.
I can assume he has the proper arachnid 8 legs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just counting in my head.
Yeah, all right. 4 cool, 3 not so cool, 1's gone.
Putting it at Christaberg's turn.
All right. I didn't realize I was suspended solely on a chain like an ornament.
Yeah.
As a move action, can I like try to get on the chain so I'm not solely suspended by him?
You'd have to pull yourself up by this chain.
Okay, let's try it. Let's do it.
Trying to do that. You tug at the chains, but is it in vain? You can't do it.
What's beneath me? Well, am I hanging
lava.
Over?
Okay. Lava.
Shit.
Try to swing yourself.
Sneak attack.
Swing yourself to
it. I mean, yeah. I can try swing. I mean, I kind of want to get this chain off of me, though.
First is get yourself onto a chain that you can actually, like, you want to be on. Like, okay. Pitfall Harriet over to one of those things.
Let me see if I can get some momentum on myself to get myself closer to one of those chains.
All right, you managed to swing yourself up. You're starting to get some momentum, but it's going to take another turn to actually get you that high.
Sounds good.
You're getting going though. It's pretty good.
I'm real excited about how fast.
It's like a metronome or something.
Great.
Yeah.
Is that another metric system thing?
No.
A metric? No. No.
It's a bad. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
It's worth a try. It was worth a try.
Putting it at Breffy's turn.
It was no aerodynamics.
I mean.
You mean it was no pun intended?
But what is?
Anyway. You feel these metal spiders all up in your back. They're digging in deeper, and they're pulling in tighter, and it's hurting. It's hurting. And now they're starting to heat up. They're feeling warm. They're feeling hot.
Who are you talking to?
You got to give it all you got. Is this like a shiatsu thing? A shiatsu, like a hot stone?
No, like you're sitting in a
Nope. It's more like a metal spider that is dug upon your back is now
not a sharper image
temperature.
Okay.
Anyway, as that happens, you see Breffy. His eyes, now they're glowing again. They're not glowing red though, like the lasers. They're glowing green, and you see crackling energy develop on his skin, and it actually goes out and it arcs in lightning arcs directly at you, and you feel all these lightnings going through your bodies, and they hit the spider on your backs and you feel it just light up white hot on your back, and it burns and your skin is melting, and the charred metal spiders fall off as electrical energy surges through your bodies, dealing. Quark, you take 7. Christaberg takes 11.
Yeah.
I didn't have a spider on me.
You didn't. That's true. Quark takes 0.
Yeah.
Christopher takes 11. Mulrain also takes 11 damage. Sharpie takes 12.
I didn't have a spider on me.
You did.
It's not going to work.
It's not just that I'm not paying attention.
Jedi mind trick, Spencer.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, that's how it works.
Well, he was right. I mean, I totally forgot that it missed him.
Well.
Sorry, Jeff.
I have my armlet of winter. Maybe I can, like the spiders are all gone, though, now.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of a good thing and a bad thing at once. You know, the spiders are off you, but now you got
hurt.
Well,
yeah, it's kind of like when a guy stabs you, he no longer has a knife.
There's a silver lining there.
It's a silver
now
lining.
Now I'm dying more.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's one less bullet in his gun.
let's knock this guy off his chains.
Putting it at Mulrain's turn.
Okay. Can I suit up?
Wait, what? Did you say suit up?
Okay.
No, I thought you said, can I suit up?
Yeah, like I have a cloak of resistance. Mm-hmm. So I'm just being preventive for the next tiny little spiders?
Well, you're already wearing that. That's on your body.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, no. I am being grateful for the information. So in that case, I'm going to shoot two arrows to one of the injured legs.
Yes, three now.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Like I said, I can't listen to the podcast without feeling depressed. So I shoot three arrows. Huzzah!
You fire three arrows. Two of them strike true.
Woo! Being a useful woman. I mean, a useful female character. That's
dealing
what I meant.
16 damage.
That was very dynamic.
Yeah.
With those arrows, what she did there was very aerodynamic.
Yeah, I applaud that pun.
Boo. I thought that was funny, and then I got it.
Yeah, right?
That's not how it works. Like, that's not how it works. You thought it was funny first.
Yeah, if you have to think about it, then it's still funny. That's how the saying goes, right?
Yeah.
If someone tickles you, if you think about it, there's no reason to laugh at that.
Krista Burke's turn?
Quark's turn.
Oh, my turn.
I'm sorry. Sharpie's turn. Sorry.
Sharpie.
There's both the AR sounds in both your names. It's fucked. Character design 101.
Sharpie, knock him off those chains.
All right. I'm on top of him.
Oh.
I'm still swinging.
I'm going to assume that I'm out of shocking grasp. Right?
Yeah. That's like three.
Yeah. And I'm going to assume that reduced person doesn't work on a spider person.
Correct.
Even though I knew him as a person.
That's true.
Is reduced person a physically reducing size of a person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so just do Uncle Dan a favor. Mm-hmm. Just indulge me for a second. I was raised in an era of video games. I can't picture what the hell's going on right
now.
We are in a room that's filling with lava. Mm-hmm. There's chains hanging down in a sort of webbishness.
Yeah.
Breffy is now in that webbishness.
Yeah.
And I'm on his back.
Uh-huh.
What's his knuckle is like hanging from
yeah,
a
like
chain
like
that's
a plumb
been
bomb.
Shot out from Breffy.
I have
yeah.
a name.
He shot yeah. a chain out of his chest cavity.
And he's hanging from another chain, or he's
swinging right now, like trying
I'm swinging
to,
from the chain. Like, this hurts so much, but I need to get another chain.
It really does.
Hanging from Breffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm an ornament.
All right.
An accessory.
I'm an invisible ornament.
All we're seeing is a chain swinging.
I'm here, you guys. It's not just the chain. I swear.
I know there's something
you're,
really.
You're like the invisible straps on a invisible straps bra.
I am kind of like a bra, aren't I?
You're very
okay.
supportive.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, I'm sorry I started the pun thing. Let's leave it.
Yeah, well, you have to deal with this now.
Son of a bitch.
Invisible.
I can't shrink item on the chain in his chest and make it small enough to come out of his chest.
Yeah, that would work well. I'd just fall right into the lava.
I'm going to rule you can do
all
that.
All right, if I cast Ray of Frost on the lava underneath Tyler, can Tyler land on the lava?
No, you have this thing called the Staff of Ice or something. That also has ice powers, but it's not a zero-level spell.
Right, Rod of Frost. Rod
yeah,
of
that's
Frost.
The one.
Do you think that if I use that on the magma beneath his feet, that it would turn it into a kind of regular stone,
obsidian, like obsidian?
He could make ice cream on it.
I want to do a camera take right now. Who knows, man?
Rod of Frost underneath Christopher's feet.
Bringing your Rod of Frost to bear, you pull the trigger. It has a trigger on it.
Why don't you snow a seat?
We'll punch that, we'll punch
I'll,
that
I'll
up.
I'll use
punch
my rod
up.
Of rewrites later. I'll throw it to a room.
Yeah.
A cold blue cone of emanating frosty energy sprays into the lava, and it creates a thick, hard shell on the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how the dinosaurs died.
It wasn't as most people maintain a giant meteor that hit the Earth and cast enough dust into the sky to cause the food chain to be disrupted. It was the Ice Age.
You got there.
Ice to see it. Ice to seat you. Ice to seat you.
We found
who
it.
Who said that?
We found it.
Well, yeah, but it's, I mean, come on. It literally is ice to seat you. Thank you, sir. That's great. Okay. Ice to seat you. Ice to, no, ice to seat you is better, Adam.
We have a winner.
It's not just a play on words. It's like, actually, I'm making ice to seat you.
There's no second place. Come on.
It's great. That's fantastic.
Putting it at Quark's turn.
I take my mighty sword and do attack straight into Breffy's face parts.
You could cut the chain and I could fall into the ice, too. Just
I want to kill this guy.
Yeah,
because we don't know how long the ice in that lava is going to last. There's still lava under there. Can melt at any moment.
That's true. It's not a support workshop for you. I mean, I did my part, you know. Some of us are going to keep fighting the spider.
Listen, I was having a bad day, and then I got a better mind of it, and I went, wait, maybe this isn't such a great idea, that I charged to him and said, why don't you throw a chain into me?
Oh, you need to stop talking.
Call back. Mighty sword attack on Breffy.
Striking directly in his robot face. You deal but a mere 9 damage.
Shit. With my plus 11 attack bonus?
I guess not. I thought it was plus 6.
Plus 11, bro.
Jesus Christ, that's broken. Dealing 14 damage.
Yeah. Stay in the game, Spencer.
I mean, you have the sheet.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you live with these sheets. You take them home. I assume that you just, like, you have wallpaper in your bathroom made up of these things.
No, I write the episode while I'm driving to work. I mean, driving to Harmontown, never see these sheets. It's not true.
All right, so he's 14 damage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Putting it at Christaberg's turn, who we last left swinging invisibly on a chain.
Okay. There's ice beneath me. I could try to cut this chain and fall.
Mm-hmm. Ice I could try to seat you.
We heard it the first time, Dan.
Sorry. My cold. I'm
gonna still try to grab a chain. Fuck.
How long does Rod of Frost keep you as Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Too long. Too long. I would still like to try to swing. I guess swing and grab a chain for the first part of my action. If I
okay,
could.
Yeah, that happens. You grab onto the chain at the crest of your swingingness.
Okay. Do I have a free hand?
You got one free hand.
Okay. I'd like to use my wire saw. I have a wire saw here.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see if I can cut this chain off of me.
Okay. Since all the stuff you've been doing is like takes all these turns, I'm just going to tell you, you could do that, but it'll take 2 turns. Do you want to start or do you want to try something else?
I need to get this chain off of me because they're going to burn off all his legs and they don't give a shit.
I just thought it would be fair to warn you.
Okay, let's do it.
Don't give a shit, by the way.
Hey, I'm going to be doing this thing. Don't kill me. I'm invisible. Don't. Thank you.
You begin the noble work of sawing away your chains. Putting it at Breffy's turn, his head continues to spin around and his eyes kind of turn blue. He emits a brilliant flash of blue light, and you guys all feel a little weird.
Because we can tell how ashamed of himself he is. That's the blue light of self-awareness.
Christaberg feels sick to his stomach, but continues his sawing maneuvers. The rest of you are unaffected.
Sweet.
Putting it at Mulrain's turn.
Well, I think I'm going to do the thing I was doing before, which is, second language.
Do it in Spanish.
Muy bueno. That was almost racist.
Not if you say it.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to shoot 3 more arrows to another... because somebody has to actually try to get the spiders.
That's true.
Does
you fire 3 arrows. 2 of them fall into the... I guess they don't fall into. They hit the hard, lava-crusty floor. The other one does, however, strike true, hitting him directly in the eye and dealing 8 damage.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Yay.
You see his robot metal eye shatter. It stops glowing blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing my job.
Putting it at Sharpie's turn.
Okay. Everybody, let's just take a step back.
Jeez.
I'm kind of busy right now, Sharpie.
Fuck him.
What does Rod of the Serpent do?
Fuck him. It turns into a serpent.
Nice. All right. As impressive as that would be right now.
That's fucking magic, dude.
It's kind of Old Testament, isn't it?
I mean, there's a time and a place for the Rod of the Serpent. It's a more subtle political atmosphere than this. No one's going to take notice. Okay. Look. Suppose I use my Rod of Frost on Breffy's head.
Uh-huh.
Just... Wait, sun rod. How many rods do I have? I'm just walking around with like a... I just have a stack of firewood in my hand. What's the sun rod? Do you remember
that's
that?
It's like a flashlight.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll hang on to that. Okay. All right, there's one more... All right. I'm going to use the Rod of Frost on Breffy.
Okay. Bringing to bear your Rod of Frost, you... Point it at him and pull the trigger. Several shards of ice kind of fire out like a grape shot into his head.
You snows, you lose.
Wow, you had a whole round to think of that.
But I swear to God, I just thought of it now. I promise.
No, that came across. What?
He meets his chilling fate.
No.
Let's not turn on each other. All right, come on.
Okay, look. They cannot be good.
We already had one terrible frost pun. We don't need more.
It's almost always like ice puns that we get stuck on.
Well, yeah. Because there's a heavy tradition of that with that movie. It's amazing. that YouTube clip of all of Arnold's ice puns in a row. Fantastic.
And you can't remember any of them.
Well, there's the one about the dinosaurs. Like, you know how the dinosaurs died? The ice age. And it's like, wait a minute.
The only one anyone remembers is Ice to Meet You. Like, do you remember any of it? I don't remember any of the other ones.
Just chill out and yeah.
It wasn't an invitation. Sorry. I'm sorry I said anything.
He said that? I'm Detective Don Kimball?
Gentlemen, meeting is about to happen.
That's
commander.
All right. What the fuck happened?
I'm sorry.
A lot of terrible puns. It dealt 13 damage to Breffy's face head.
Ice to face head.
And you see his other eye kind of start to flicker and go out, and his head starts to... twitches a bit like a person's twitching might look.
Yeah.
And then he begins to fall into the drink.
I'm not done sawing yet! Help!
You're on his back still.
That's why I jump, and I use the spell jump.
Nah, you can't cast that, but you can jump normal style.
I jump normal style.
Okay. Jumping off of him as he falls, he crashes to the crusty lava floor, and he hits with a thump, and you see cracks begin to appear in this lava floor.
How long is this chain attaching him to
be? As he falls, you know, you're sawing viciously at this chain, and the impact combined with all this sawing, all this hard work you've done, causes the chain to snap right at the point of sawing.
Wow.
Success!
Yeah, it's all convenient and shit.
Is Breffy alive or dead?
He's not quite dead, but he's also not moving. You see cracks develop in the lava floor, and they get wider as lava starts to pour.
I think the thing
that
Quark is asking is...
Is there a time for me? How much time do I have before this
lava
consumes him?
Lava is starting to consume them as we speak. You're going to have to
it's now or never,
disrobe.
Shit. How bad do I want to fuck Breffy again? I mean, this...
I'll throw you a rope.
This is risky.
I have one hand on it. The chain's free.
Okay,
take this rope.
Against everything I believe in, I tie a rope to myself. And I fasten it to the chain and around my chest, and I swing down as I'm swinging. This is going to be a hard combat maneuver. I loosen my pants, and I try to give him a quick one as I swing by. Oh no! I go down like Mission Impossible, I come down, my arms outstretched, and my boner go straight down. I try to become like a spider, which is like it looks like.
Consumed by passion, your rope tying skills aren't what they usually are. And as you lower yourself in perfect raping position, the rope slips and you fall directly onto the corpse of Breffy.
Okay, I fuck him real fast.
As he sinks into the hot lava.
Oh no! I jump back off?
Or do you fuck him real fast?
Oh, shit. Give me a second.
How fast are you,
Clark? Give me a second.
We need a number.
Somebody throw me a rope.
I already offered to throw him a rope. I have a free hand now. Let me throw him a rope. I got rope.
Do you have rope?
I have 150 feet of rope.
Okay, cool.
I grab the rope. And
I know this is important.
I know. Can I throw him my button staff? That staff that has the button on it? That when you press the button, it stays in place?
Okay. Rope and button staff coming at you, Quark.
I grab
the button staff. It's got the button on it that makes it.
I grab the button staff and I hold on to it. And it's kind of like Indiana Jones when he's looking like, do I take the idol or do I let the thing close? And like he's going down. And I grab the button staff and I fuck him real quick and then I jump onto the staff. Shit, I need a line. Give me a line.
Don't look at me.
Spider.
I'm a lava, not a fighter.
Boo!
I'm a lava, not a fighter.
That's the best reaction you can hope for with a pun, I guess.
You really had the hots for that spider.
Yeah.
That was appropriate. Thank you, guys.
That's such a downer, man.
Yeah. Okay, so I fuck him, and then I jump back on, I hold on to the rod and the rope.
Yeah.
And so does he go away into the lava?
I mean, touching the button on the button staff, you extend the staff as it pierces through the crusty lava layer and into the molten lava. You don't know what's happening for a while, but then you feel yourself rising up on the staff into the chains. You get into the chains, but then the staff becomes hot in your hands, too hot to touch.
I grab a chain.
You grab the chain as the staff melts into molten metal.
Worth it.
Sludge.
I before he even says anything, I give him a look that says, worth it.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
As it drifts under the lava.
You just did what we were all thinking, man. Yeah.
Once bitten, twice die. No. I fucked you twice.
I shout up at the ceiling. You like that, Admiral Darkstar? Is that all you got? Is that all you got?
And the camera pulls out.
Is that all you got?
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you, community fans, for coming in tonight. Thank you for coming to Communicon. I hope you love season 5.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Julietta. Thank you all. Thank you for your wonderful help with the puns. One more time for Spencer Crittenden, everybody. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. And again, keep it going for your mayor, Mr. Dan Harmon.
God bless you.